Let me invite you over to the book of Genesis this morning, Genesis 37 and verse 1. Genesis 37, verse 1. Genesis chapter 37, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and made him a coat of many colors." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people in your church. Lord, for the truth that we understand from your word, where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the very midst, and we thank you for that. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the service with your Holy Spirit, that you would guide our hearts and minds to worship you in truth and spirit, that you might be glorified and our lives empowered to glorify you. And we'll give you the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is God's Work of Mercy and Grace. And if you consider the Word of God through those glasses, if you will, you will see a lot of important truths, because it's all about the mercy that we do not deserve and the grace, once again, that we do not deserve, that God has given to every believer. But in order to really understand that, humility is a key ingredient if we're to see and experience God in our life. It is possible to be a saved child of God and miss that. We can experience God at the very beginning and understand salvation, but miss the mercy and grace of God in our lives. And we can view things from a natural perspective. We can begin to look at things from our own standpoint, if you will, and our own understanding of what righteousness is, and we'll completely miss the mind of God. So I want to ask you this question as we consider this. Is God involved in humanity? Amen. From the very beginning, has God ever abandoned us as human beings? No. Will he ever abandon you and I as his children? And yet sometimes we can feel, where's the Lord? Where's God at? But he's always there, and we always have access to him because of his righteousness and his mercy and grace in your life and mine, even if we don't feel it. Sometimes we can feel that way, but God is still there because he says nobody takes us out of his hands, and we thank the Lord for that. But again, humility is the key ingredient, really, to walk in that, to understand that. And I just want to share a couple of proverbs here with you that really point that out. Proverbs 15:33 says this: "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." So these are all good things, the fear of the Lord, but before these things must come humility. Proverbs 18:12, "Before destruction the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility." And I want to equate, when God honors you and I, he gives us insight and understanding of what's going on in our own lives, to see his hand that grants us peace and his joy that passes the world's joy. And then lastly, I want you to look at this or listen to this Proverb 22, verse 4. He says, "By humility," that comes first, "and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor." And the last thing he says, "are life." Now, he's speaking to people that are alive and saying these things. And so he's not talking about a physical life, but he's talking about a life worth living by the grace of God, a life that God brings into our lives. So spiritually speaking, we were born dead. Is that not right? We were dead in our trespasses and sin. But Jesus said he's come to give what? Life. And life what? More abundantly. And so when he gives us that abundant life, he's not talking about just a physical heart beating and lungs breathing air. He's talking about the life that he came to give to you and I, that changes everything. And so when we consider this, I want to look at the life of Joseph today, and I want to see what's all taking place that we might understand. And as we pick up, I want you to see that Joseph is at work. This is a good place for a 17-year-old to be. It's a good thing for parents to teach their children. Oh, some people consider this a four-letter word, and it is W-O-R-K. It's a good thing for us to teach our children how to work. Someone has said, those that are trained up to do nothing are likely to be good for nothing. That's important. Those who are trained up to do nothing are likely to be good for nothing. And so look at this here as we consider these verses. Look at verse 2. It says, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. He was working. He was feeding. He wasn't just sitting there being the boss. That's not what he was doing. He was at hand feeding the flocks that were there with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You don't have to believe some of the things that I think concerning the Word of God. Now we do have to be in agreement on biblical doctrine. Salvation is by grace through faith. That is fundamental, foundational. That has to be the case. But when we consider our text this morning, I want you to understand that Joseph was at work, and he was doing some good things, and he had a relationship with his God. He was not a spoiled brat. A lot of people seem to think that, and God had to work some things out. Well, remember, listen, when he was sold into slavery, is what happened, right? He was in Potiphar's house. If he was a spoiled brat, do you think God would have blessed that? Do you think he would have shined for the honor and glory of God? Now you don't have to agree. I've heard a lot of people, a lot of preachers, and I've heard probably more say that he was not spoiled, but some people, he had to be sold into slavery to learn a lesson. And I don't think that's the case. When you consider his integrity, by the way, listen, he would have never been able to overcome Potiphar's wife if he was a spoiled brat, because basically when we say somebody is spoiled, they're not thinking about anybody but who? Themselves. He would have never made that. He would have never persevered in all of that. He would have never lasted over there in Egypt. God knows, listen, whom he loves, he tries. And what that does is it strengthens our relationship with the Lord. There are so many things that we consider or could consider concerning the life of Joseph. As soon as he became a respected individual in the house of Potiphar, don't you think he had the right kind of relationship with Potiphar that he could say, listen, I need to send a message to my dad that I am alive and what my brothers did to me. Don't you think he could have done that? But he didn't do that. Why? Because he understood that God, he understood more about the dream that God gave him and the purpose, and he had something that his brothers didn't have, and that was patience. And he was willing to wait on the Lord, and this is something that God wants to give to all of us. Wait a minute. Then he was falsely accused, right? And what happened to him there? He was put into the prison. And shortly after he got into the prison, God also gave him favor. God was with him there, and the prison guard put him over everything. Now, what happens there? As soon as he gained favor with this prison guard to entrust everything into his hands, he could have once again complained and said, I need to send a message to my dad. And I would tend to think that the prison guard would have maybe done something for him, possibly. Let's just put it in that realm. But then now, all of a sudden, Pharaoh has this dream of the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. And after he was made the second to Pharaoh, don't you think he could have sent a message to his dad? Don't you think he could have complained about what was being done? But he was trusting in the Lord. Amen. And what God was doing, he was patiently waiting upon God's plan. And the only way that we can have that is not to, well, bless God, I'm going to just determine to persevere in this idea of being faithful to the Lord. That's not how it works. We experience God and he enables us. There's a work that God does. And Joseph would tell you, as he told his brothers at the very end, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for what? How did he see that? I'm telling you, listen, I'm convinced he understood it better at the end, but he saw it at the very beginning. God is merciful, he's kind, and he does work with us to bring us to walk by faith. But to the ones that are faithful, he moves them forward to a greater degree. So let me remind you of something. The brothers, were they children of God? Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Were they walking uprightly? No, they weren't. Did they experience the blessings of God? Yes, they did. Did they walk circumspectly or upright before the Lord? They did not. They all conspired to slay Joseph. But did God know that? Yes, he did. And did he use that? This is a powerful truth. Listen, God also uses everything that comes into our life. That's easy to preach. I will tell you that. But I want you to know it brings peace and comfort and joy if we ask God to enable us to walk in that truth. Because God never takes anything and causes it to work out just for our harm or our hurt, but he's working out all things for our what? For our good. So as we consider this, I want you to see what's happening here. And here we find in verses 3 and 4, this is a child of his old age. Here it says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age." So it gives us the reason there. And you have to understand that because people stop right at this point that Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. And they stop right there and they say, "Well, my goodness, that's unfair. That's not what a parent should do." And I want you to understand that that was not the heart, that's not the understanding of what Israel was doing, because it says of his old age. Now, there's a lot that's involved in there, and this has the idea of credibility here. He was making the right choices, and this was his son that was from his wife, right, that he loved, and not only that, but he was turning out well. He was doing the right things in his old age. The other brothers were always scheming. Remember what they did in Shechem concerning their sister Dinah and how they set up these men and they tricked them and they slew them? God didn't look favorably upon that, but this young boy right here at 17, he was doing the right things. Now, any time that we do the right thing, is the world going to like us? How about this? This will surprise you. Will a worldly Christian, and when I say they're a Christian, I'm saying they're saved by the grace of God. They may not be acting Christ-like, but I promise you that if you're walking upright and they don't want to walk upright and they're a child of God, they're not going to appreciate your stance for the Lord Jesus Christ because they have a carnal heart. They have. Listen, look at the life of David. Do you think David would have listened to reason while he was committing his sin with Bathsheba and how he was setting up Uriah to be slain? Do you think he would listen to? No, not at that moment. He wasn't ready to hear the truth. Even a man after God's own heart was devising to work evil and murder in the sight of God. So as we consider this here, we find here that really he had good character. Nobody had to watch over him, and he was doing the things that are right. And I want you to understand, again, it's common for those that are beloved of God to be hated by the world and even other believers, even other people who profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to not be accepted by them either as well. Proverbs 9:8 says this, "Reprove not a scorner." Is it possible for children of God to be scorners? It is, unfortunately. "Lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man and he will love thee." Rebuke, correct a wise man and they will appreciate that. But that has a lot to do with where our heart is at the moment and where our frame of mind is at. Is it possible for a child of God to be in the right heart, in the right frame of mind as God would have them to be here at church this morning? Yeah. And I pray all of us are. But is it possible even this afternoon for us not to have our hearts in the right place? Something can enter in. Is it not easy for us to slip into the natural realm? In fact, we slide there pretty easily. In fact, we're pretty comfortable in that position because that's our nature. And so the spiritual battle is to not lean to our own understandings, but in all our ways to acknowledge who? God, you're the director of my life. I'm going to acknowledge you, Lord. I'm going to trust you to be the director of my life. This is where I believe, I'm convinced, this is where Joseph was at. So as we consider our text here, I want you to understand, I think Joseph was a young man of good integrity, and God blessed him, just like Daniel was. Daniel was a man of good integrity. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. He was convinced that this was the way to really enjoy life and to honor his God, that he was worthy. He considered himself just like Paul did, and he said, you know what, I'm taking all the things of this world, and I'm going to discard them over here, and I'm going to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling that God has given to every child of God to enjoy. So I want you to see this gracious revelation, which is really what is happening here in verse 5. It says, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren. Now, obviously, they didn't like this dream, but do you think maybe it might have something to do with the position of their heart? You can speak truth to a child of God, but if they're not in the place to receive it, they're not going to appreciate it. And by the way, we need to be careful also with the truth of the Word of God. When somebody is in a difficult situation, even Proverbs tell us that we ought to not be singing praise if they're hurting, and say to them, well, bless God, you ought to praise God. Well, maybe you ought to find out why they're hurting. Maybe you ought to find out that they might need a little bit of compassion and a little bit of understanding, just like we do when we're experiencing a difficult situation. Sure, these are things that are taught, but it's the Spirit of God that moves in to the need at the very moment. Isn't that the way the Lord worked? Notice in Luke chapter 5, we're not going there, but remember, Jesus did not get into Simon Peter's boat and tell him to launch out to the deep. Right away, did he? He said, no, thrust out a little from the shore. I've got a message to preach. Now, was he preaching it at Peter? No. Did he want Peter to hear it? Yes. But he was preaching to he's tired, and he's allowing Peter to probably relax or whatever the case might be. And then he tells him, okay, now I want you to launch out into the deep. And remember what Peter said, oh, Lord, we've toiled all the night. And the Lord told him to let out your nets, plural, for a big draft of fishes. And what did Peter do? He let out how many nets? Do you remember? One net. Now, had we been the Lord, and praise God we're not, we probably wouldn't have allowed him to catch all those fish that he caught that caused the boats to sink. But do you see the mercy of God? Do you see that? Listen. God is merciful and faithful even when we are not. Even when we don't understand. That's your God. Do you know why the Lord wants us to understand that truth? Because no matter where you're at, no matter how low you might feel, no matter how low you may go, you can always go to your God. And he wants you to know the door is always open. We preach about the prodigal father, the prodigal son, and his father. We talk about how he's out there waiting for him, looking for him. Isn't that true in your life and mine? Now, listen, that's not a license to sin. But it's an understanding and a truth that God wanted to convey to his children that no matter where you're at, you can always come home to your heavenly Father. And so, we find this here in verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Now, if you've ever had siblings, can you tell if they're mad at you? Right? Will your siblings do you the honor and the favor to make sure you know how they feel about you? Have they ever done that? Now, you don't have to answer this one. Have you ever done that? We want to make sure they know. And we can do that so many different ways, can't we? We can maybe just not talk to them. And not talk to them, and not talk to them until we let them know we've gotten underneath, or they've gotten under our skin and we want to return the favor. All right? So I am convinced that Joseph understood. I am also convinced, as a parent, that I can tell Because just as siblings will let you know, they'll let the parents know as well. That they don't, especially, listen, how do you think, we always see how the brothers felt towards Joseph. How do you think the brothers felt toward their dad in the coat of many colors? You think they might have said, well, if I had a coat of many colors, or how about the sibling with the coat of many colors? I'm sure they found many ways to try to let their father know they did not appreciate what he was doing. But again, I want you to understand, it's not that he loved the other brothers any less. It's that he was honored by this one son that was willing to do what's right. Now, let's paint a bigger picture. Let's look at our Heavenly Father. Does our Heavenly Father love me more than you? Well, I'm a preacher. Roll out the red carpet. No. Do you know what? Listen. He loves us all the same. He gave us all his son. And he is not a respecter of persons. That means he does not regard one above another. I dare say the word of God teaches that we ought to love one another as Christ loved us. Do you see the difference? Oh no, we'll love one another how we see fit. I mean, they made me mad over here in this situation. That's not the Spirit of Christ. We are not filled with the Spirit when we're doing that. We ought to genuinely say, God, I want to love them as you love me. I want to see the truth as David saw it when he said, who am I, God? Who am I that you have blessed my life, that you have done all these things? Who am I, Lord, that you did not give me what I deserved when I sinned with Bathsheba? Who am I, Lord, that you even took my sin and because he repented, he turned it into a blessing? Because if you understand, Bathsheba was Solomon's mother. Now, truthfully, wouldn't you and I think that should have never happened? Bring Solomon, but not through Bathsheba. But that's not the mercy and the forgiveness and the grace of God. Now, does that mean we ought to take advantage of that? No. But God, that perplexes and puzzles the world and the carnal believer. But to the child of God who realizes who God is in their life, they see that as a blessing. Because if God will do that for them, and God is not a respecter of persons, guess what? God will do that for you and I as well. So, as we look at this here, look at verse 5 again. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. As if they didn't hate him enough already, they hate him even more now. Okay, so follow that. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. Now, so listen, they already hated him. Do you think he understood that they hated? Do you think out of all those other brothers, do you think there was something expressed in their faces when he told them, hear the dream? And the Bible says they hated him more. Do you think that he may have saw? Listen, when you're in a group of people and they all are not for you, I think you pick up something somewhere that things are not, this is not your crowd. Amen? Okay, so verse 6, and he said to them, hear you, I pray you, the dream which I have dreamed. Verse 7, for behold, we were binding sheaves. If it wasn't worse already, it's not going to get any better here. We were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. I mean, if it wasn't bad already, it wasn't getting any better at all in this particular case. Verse 8, and his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Do you think they understood the dream? In a heartbeat, they understood it. Why did they understand it? Well, it was pretty plain, and their hearts were already bent against him. They're already against him. And so all his brethren, man, this just is not making an inroad into their hearts. But wait a minute. Should Joseph have not said or shared the dream? No, God was directing him to share the dream. Listen, is God on the throne? Yeah. Is he in control? Has he ever lost control? Will he ever lose control? All right. Now, this is important. We were studying about the law, God's commandments that he had given to the Israelites. Okay, ready? Did God know Hitler was on the horizon? Did he know everything Hitler would do? Does he know everything you and I would do? We see, this is the human understanding, that we think that God, human beings look at the law and they might say this, well, God maybe anticipated or foresaw what we were going to do, and so he gave us the Ten Commandments or he gave us the law. No, listen, he didn't foresee, he didn't anticipate that. He saw it. He saw everything you and I would do, has he not? We just said he saw everything Hitler was going to do before he ever came into existence. That's why you cannot overthrow God. Not only is he in control, but he's already seen it. Isn't that amazing? It's comforting as well. Everything the brothers were going to do before they did it, did God not already see it? See, what's our job? To trust him even when we don't understand it. Wait a minute. Let me back up here. It's not our job. It's God's work in our hearts and minds. See, we can find rest in that to get us through the difficult situations when things don't make sense. Do you think Joseph had to rest in that truth when his brothers mistreated him? Absolutely. So this is our example. So consider this here in verse 8. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? Do you see the problem? You're going to over us? And you know what they're saying, over my dead body, over us. And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. There's a lot of hate going on here. Does God still love them? Yeah, he does. So verse 9, and he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren. My goodness, listen, I would not want to do that, would you? I mean, if you've already got your brothers dead set against you and you're the youngest one, or second to the youngest, but listen, God was directing them. Fathom this thought. Why? Because he saw what the brothers were going to do, and he saw what he was going to do with Joseph. And if you'll understand, when they come to the end, when he locks them all up in prison, when the brothers come to Egypt, we'll look at that maybe later on, not this morning, but anyway, they're talking to each other and they're saying, "It's God is doing this to us." Do you remember the brothers saying that? Because of what we did to our brother. Do you remember them saying that? God saw that. And listen, that is the mercy, that is the work of God's mercy and grace in the behalf of the brothers to bring them back to himself. Do you follow that thought? And how much did they experience it? It was all coming to light. Their sins were being discovered, but the purpose wasn't for God to put his finger in their eye, but that they might return and come to that right relationship. Listen, Judah and Reuben were the oldest ones. They were the ones that were involved. Judah gets involved in some deception. Judah, the tribe of Judah, does that ring a bell? Who came through the tribe of Judah? The Savior. Did he deserve that? Was it because of how good Judah was? Or was it because how good our God is? To even take Judah up out of the miry clay and put him up. I don't understand that. But that is the grace of God. So here we go. Ready? And he dreamed a dream, yet another dream, verse 9, and told it his brethren, and behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And notice, behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it his father and to his brethren. So now they're all there in company. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? Do you think everybody understood? Did that take place? It did happen, didn't it? And notice, God saw all of that. So, he says, verse 11, and his brethren envied him, but his father, listen, his father observed the saying. Do you see what's going on? Listen, this is conjecture on my part. When the father openly said, "What is this that you're telling us here? Are the brethren and me and your, your mother going to come down, and we're going to pay obeisance to you?" And he was really listening because of the character. Remember, of what he had seen in his old age about this son that was faithful. And so he was trying to save face in front of the brothers. Do you think the brothers, when Joseph was telling this dream, do you think the brothers were going, "Oh, Joseph, tell us more"? Do you think that's what they were doing? Do you think maybe they were quiet? Do you think their faces were a little bit on the downside? In fact, maybe angry? Do you think the father saw that? Absolutely, he saw all of that. And so this is the work that God is doing, even though they didn't understand it. But one thing, Jacob did understand that Joseph was different. Joseph was honorable, and so he kept those sayings, and he needed that. Do you think Jacob forgot that at one point? Yeah, when he thought Joseph was dead for many years. Do you think it all came home to roost when he saw his son again? It did. It made all the sense in the world. What do you think it did in his heart? "God, you are faithful. I thought there was no hope. I thought it was all done, and yet you are faithful." You remember a couple of Sundays ago, we were talking about the Israelitish maid and Naaman, the captain of the guard for the king of Syria. You remember that? And do you remember when he went down as a little Israelitish maid told him to go down to be with the prophet that is in Samaria? And he went down there and all the conflict that he had with going down into the Jordan. But then after he went into the Jordan, do you remember what happened? How God had healed him because he took by faith what the prophet had told him to do by the mouth of a servant, and that made him mad? Do you see how our hearts are filled with pride? But here's one thing that we don't get, but I think God gives it to us anyway, as we think about it. And Naaman now knows that there is no God in all the earth but the God of Israel. And now he's headed back towards home, and the Bible doesn't tell us about this. But do you think maybe he looked at that little Israelitish maid a little bit differently? He may have set her free for all we know. Listen, he surely wanted to do something for the man of God and for his servants, didn't he? Do you think he was impressed to do something for that little girl? If she stayed, maybe he was like a father to her. I don't know. But no doubt in my mind, he looked at her a little bit differently. Do you know what God does? Let me bring it around this way. Do you think Joseph's brothers saw him a little bit differently after Jacob died? Remember, they were all afraid. Now we're in trouble. Joseph's going to do us in now. And you remember Joseph, it grieved his heart that they thought that. And that's where Joseph says, "Well, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. To spare your lives and your little ones." And do you think they maybe understood at that time the love of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God? You know, God is trying to do that in your life and mine. Get us to see that as we open up the Word of God and as we ask Him that to show us the truths of God's Word, that He'll reveal Himself. And here's the crazy part. Ready? God wants to reveal Himself to us. And then as He does that and we understand Him, He wants to reveal Himself through us. Not us doing it, Him doing it. It's His work of mercy and grace. We're not going to cover it. But the Father says, who already knows how the brothers feel, go out and check on your brothers. And what did Joseph say? "Oh, man, come on. Really? I want to go play Nintendo or the computer games. I want to throw rocks." No. He said, "Here I am. I'll go." And so when we consider this, God wants us to understand that His work of mercy and grace are not just in the Bible, but He saved us to put His work of mercy and grace in your life and mine if we'll trust and believe Him and ask Him to do that work. He's not left that work up to you and I. He didn't leave it up to Joseph. Joseph didn't plan all that out. All Joseph did was trust the Lord and do what God asked him to do, and God blessed it. And by the way, it appeared to blow up in his face. But was that all part of God's plan? Isn't that amazing? It's all part of God's plan to give us his very best and to trust him in it. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for the truths that you reveal and impart to us, and the work, Lord, of your mercy and grace that you want to do in us, if we'll just yield ourselves and call out on you to do them. Bless the invitation, Lord. May we seek you with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and not lean to our own understanding, but to acknowledge you in all our ways. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.